We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
We're going to be talking about it all throughout the course of December. Amen? That was a real week. Amen? Awesome. So, hey, we're in this series called King of Kings, part three of this series. Over the past few weeks, we've been walking through this series, and the whole concept of this series is shaped around this scripture out of Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, which says that Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, references him or refers to him as the Lord of Lords and also the King of Kings. And this title that was attributed to Jesus as King of Kings speaks to the sovereign rule of Jesus over all things in heaven and over all things in earth. In other words, there's nothing that happens in our world or there's nothing that's happening in our life in which Jesus is not overseeing. Now, granted, he allows us to go through some things, but it does not mean that he is not in control of all things. And that's the message that we've been communicating for the past few weeks throughout this series, and that's the message that I hopefully pray that you have received if you've been here, and even if you've missed it, we actually have all of our messages up online at thebridgechurchva.com, so you can go back up there and listen to them for free, download them, whatever you want to do with them, share them with others. But we've had this series to help calm some of the fears that many of us oftentimes wrestle with when it comes to our lives spiraling out of control. And we actually also did this series to speak to some of the tension that we knew our country would be in as a result of some of the elections and as a result of some of the other current events that we see happening in our country that kind of perpetuate the cycle of division and kind of just begins to ask the question, man, is God really in control? With so much bad happening around us, is he really still ruling things? And the simple answer to that question is yes. He is still on the throne. Jesus is still King of Kings. He is still Lord of Lords. And so we've talked about that for the past 2 weeks. And so today we're going to actually end this series with part three. And I believe that this message will be one that will encourage us, but also help to give us some true perspective as it relates to understanding how to deal with some of the crisis moments that we ultimately face in life. So I'm actually going to read a scripture that many of us who have any type of church background or church experience, you've probably heard at some point. If you happen to be new to this whole thing, I promise you this story will bless you in some capacity. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 is where we're going to read from, all the way down to about verse 41. Mark 4, verse 35, all the way down to verse 41. And if you don't have a Bible, we got it on the screen for you, so that way you could follow along as well. Here's what it says. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" And verse 39 says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Verse 41 says, the disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." And so for part three of this series, King of Kings, I'm simply preaching a message that I'm calling Staying Calm in the Middle of a Storm. Staying calm in the middle of a storm. How many of you guys have ever been through rough and rocky seasons of your life? That should be every single person's hand. Every person in here has been through a season in their life, in your life, where you felt as if the wheels were falling apart and falling off. We talked a little bit about this last week, about what to do when the bottom falls out or what happens when the bottom falls out. But today we're going to kind of press into that a little bit more and talk about how to remain calm when things just get out of control. Because I don't know if you're like me, sometimes when things get out of control, it's easy just to panic. It's easy to kind of hit the panic button and the worry button and be filled with anxiety and be filled with fear. Matter of fact, some of us in here, like, your natural proclivity when something bad happens is to be filled with anxiety and to be filled with much fear. But to push it a little bit further, there's moments in our life where even if that may not necessarily be your natural proclivity, there are just some times that come in your life that are absolutely extremely hard and extremely tough that they break down even the toughest of people and cause even the toughest of people to be in disarray. There's going to be times in your life where you will ultimately face things that will cause you to hit the panic button. It will oftentimes cause you to question whether or not God is in control. And just as natural storms, when they come, they tend to kind of disrupt a lot of things. They may kind of ultimately catch us off guard and things like that. Such as it is in the natural, when we talk about storms as it relates to this message, we use it as a metaphor to talk about the tough times that you oftentimes face in your life. That you and I will face storms. Now, I don't know about you, just in the natural, I'm not that big of a fan of storms. Especially like when lightning gets involved and thunder is getting involved and the whole house is shaking and it just kind of feels like the house is just getting ready to come up off the foundation. Like, I'm not too much of a fan of those type of things. I don't know if you guys have ever been caught in a natural storm before where it was heavy downpour and you were driving on the interstate. How many of you guys have ever been driving in just downpour? And, you know, this wasn't like typical rain. Like, this was the type of rain where it kind of caused your heart to beat a little bit faster than normal. You know, like at first you were like, oh, I'll kind of be good. But then the rain just kept coming and just kept coming. And then you couldn't see. And you had the windshield wipers going super duper fast and it still wasn't helping. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, this is for real. Like, should I pull over? Should I call for help? Oftentimes you and I, just as we face storms like that in the natural, we will face storms like that in life. Some of us in here, you've been in crazy storms. You've been in hurricanes. About 13 years ago, there was a storm that came through here called Hurricane Isabel. It was not pretty at all, not one bit. Matter of fact, Hurricane Matthew came up the coast a few months back, kind of hit a few areas harder than other areas. Many of us have been in different types of storms. Some of you guys have survived like tornado type of storms. You've seen like some of the craziest storms. Some of you guys have been in the Navy and you've been on the boat when there was a storm and the boat was just kind of swaying back and forth. Some of you guys weren't in the Navy or not in the military, whatever the case may be, but you were on a cruise ship. And that storm that came caused the waters to get real choppy. And you just feel the swaying back and forth. And you started praying like you've never prayed a day in your life. Lord, if you just get me out of this storm, I'll go to church. Got you out of it. You ain't been back since, right? But nonetheless, no shade. But all of us have been in these type of storms, naturally especially. But also when it comes to life. So the question that you and I had to ask ourselves is, how do we respond when the storms of life come to the threshold of our life? Like, how do you respond when the storms come knocking at your door? What kind of storms? Storms like when they tell you only got 2 weeks left on the job. Storms like when you go to the doctor for one thing and they kind of tell you back, we need to run some more tests because we're seeing some irregularity. Storms like when you go to start up your car, it doesn't start up. That was my storm last week. Storms like the people that you thought were for you, all of a sudden just kind of turn their back on you, right? Like all of us experience these storms, but the question is, how do you and I respond to them when they happen? What's our natural response? And more often than not, let's just be honest, we panic. We lose hope. We become struck with fear. We compromise our convictions. We act outside of our character. We do things that we typically would not do on a sunny day. On a sunny day, everybody's smiling, everybody's cool, everybody's chilling, everybody's relaxing. But when the storms of life come, that's when it gets real rough. That's when we begin to question, is God in control? Is God really for me? Does God really love me like the scripture says? And that kind of brings us to this story here in Mark chapter 4. Because in this story, we see Jesus along with his disciples. They're leaving one area after doing some ministry and ultimately going to another area to do more ministry. And as they are on their way to go do ministry and to go to another area, they experience a storm. And it's interesting because what we kind of learn from this passage of scripture is storms never come at a time of convenience. Like, they never come at a, you know, at an ideal time. More often than not, storms, especially in the natural, they come at times where you just don't even kind of plan for and didn't, were kind of hoping it wouldn't happen, such as it is in life. Like, things happen in life that are totally out of your control, and they totally oftentimes blindside you. They catch you off guard. They weren't convenient at all. But then there's other storms that come that we ultimately kind of send ourselves through. Some storms that you and I end up going through aren't necessarily because they just came up unexpectedly. Some natural disasters in our life, not natural like tornado or hurricane, but metaphorical natural disasters that happen in life when the wheels begin to fall off, sometimes they happen because we were the ones who contributed it to it happening. Like bad decisions. Like, I can't sit up here and say, the devil is after my finances when I just ran up my entire credit card. Ain't nobody tell you to go spend that money on no Louis Vuitton bag. Right? I mean, let's just be real. Like, some things we blame, like, outside sources for, when in all actuality, like, we're the reason for it. Like, we're the reason why we end up going through some of the storms that we go through. I'm not saying all the storms, but some of the storms that we go through, some of the bad seasons that we go through, some of the turbulent moments in life that we go through are not always because it's just life being life. But a lot of times, it's because of us just doing terrible and dumb things. Perfect example of this, I shared this a little bit last week. This guy in the Bible by the name of Jonah, he found himself in a storm. But the reason why he found himself in a storm was because he found himself in a place that he was not supposed to be in. God told him to go to one place. He decided, no, I don't want to go that place to do what you called me to do. So I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to disobey you. And all of a sudden, he finds himself on a boat and a storm rises up. If Jonah would have just obeyed God, he wouldn't have found himself in a storm. Sometimes you and I find ourselves in moments of crisis, not because it's just life, but it's just because you got in your own way. We just got to call it what it is. Let's just be honest. Like, let's just be real. Like, some of the issues that I may have in my relationship is because I've made bad relationship choices. I can't blame it on everybody else. I got to actually be honest and kind of own it. But then there are some moments that come in our life that are just totally out of our control. Like, you could just be doing the right thing. You can kind of be in the will of God. You can be doing what God has called you to be. And then a storm just arises. And that's ultimately what happens here in this story. And in verse 37, you actually kind of see it. It says, but soon a fierce storm came up. But soon, some of your translations may say, suddenly a storm came up. Now, what's interesting about the disciples, just to kind of give you some background and some context into the story, is that Jesus and the disciples were sailing to the other side of what's known as the Sea of Galilee. And in the Sea of Galilee, more often than not, storms would just pop up like crazy, just out of nowhere. Like, you could just be chilling on the boat, and all of a sudden, it just starts raining. Kind of like in Florida, if you guys have ever been to Florida. Like, it could be sunny and just nice and bright and hot, and all of a sudden, it just starts downpouring. And all of a sudden, it just stops. And the Sea of Galilee is very similar. Like, you could just be sailing. You could just be hanging out, catching some fish or whatever the case may be, and all of a sudden, a storm rises up. But what was strange about this was, in the Sea of Galilee, storms would typically arise during the daytime hours. But Jesus and the disciples, if you read in the text, were sailing in the evening, which consequently means that they should not experience any storm. But in the midst of them sailing during the evening, a storm happens to come up at a time that they did not expect. You will experience storms in your life that you did not expect. And here's what's crazy about these type of storms in the Sea of Galilee. It wasn't like some little, you know, 1 foot waves. The storms would typically produce about at least 20 foot waves. Can you imagine they're not on a Carnival cruise line, guys. They're on a fishing boat, like first century fishing boat. If I had a picture, I'd actually show it to you of different first century boats in the Jewish world that were actually in the Roman world, Greco-Roman world, that were actually used back then. But it wasn't a boat like we would typically think of it as today. They were on a boat, and out of nowhere, the storm comes. Now, just to give even more context to this thing, these guys are experienced fishermen. So they've been in their fair share of storms before. But this storm was different. The storm that came, that they're in, is not producing just generic type of waves. It's producing 20-foot waves. Now, I don't know the last time you came in contact with a 20-foot wave, because I've never come in contact with one. I've been to the beach a few times. I've seen like 4-foot waves, maybe 7-foot waves at the most, whatever. But a 20-foot wave on a boat? No, dog, I'm out. I'm praying to Jesus. It's over for me. I'm coming to see you, Jesus, because I'm not going to make it through this one. 20-foot waves, guys. And not only were they arising up, but the water from the waves is now beginning to fill the boats. Can you imagine the fear that these guys have? Because it's one thing that the storm is just impacting, you know, things that don't really impact you. But when the storm comes and it begins to rock the proverbial boat of your life, now we got a problem. Because this is getting a little bit too close for comfort. The water that was on the outside of the boat, guys, is now coming on the inside. I don't know about you, but water ain't supposed to be in the boat up to my knees. We would say that that's a problem. Houston, we have a problem here. And some of you guys have found yourself in seasons like that, in times like that in your life, where it's like, oh, hold on, man. These bills just started stacking up out of nowhere. This ain't supposed to happen. Like, hold on, man. My health just started failing out of nowhere. This ain't supposed to happen. Like, I thought my relationship was good. This wasn't supposed to happen. Like, life was looking good. Life was looking clear. Life was looking calm. And all of a sudden, this storm happened. That's not supposed to happen. There's something odd about this. And I'm not getting a good feeling about this. Can you imagine what the disciples were feeling, y'all? Scared. Shook. Fearing for their life. Here's, matter of fact, what it says later on in that same, later on in verse 38. It says, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on the cushion, and the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" They are panicking. Like, Jesus, dude, we about to die, man. Are you going to step in? Do you not care? Some of us have actually prayed those type of prayers. God, like, do you not care? Do you see all the hell that I'm going through right now? Do you not care about it? Like, people have walked out on me. Do you not care? I just lost my job. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. Do you not care? Just by a show of hands, how many of you guys have ever felt like that before? Man, y'all are so honest today. This must be good. We've been in moments like this where it's been like, God, like, do you not care? Like, are you just going to sit here and just watch all this play out? Because I didn't see this coming. This kind of blindsided me, Lord. And it would have been cool if you kind of would have gave me some warning so that way I could prepare for this. Oh, by the way, just so you know, in this passage of scripture, why were they even in the storm in the first place? Because a guy named Jesus told them to get into the boat and sail to the other side. So what you saying, Pastor Edwin? What I'm saying is this, that the storm that caught you off surprise never caught God for surprise. The main reason they were in the boat going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee was because it was Jesus' idea. Y'all don't believe me. Look at what the text says. Jesus is crazy, man. Look what it says. Let's cross to the other side of the lake. And just like good followers of Jesus, the disciples are like, okay, I guess so. Fast forward to verse 37, verse 38. Jesus, do you not care? I'm pretty sure some of the disciples were like, this dude done told us to get into the boat, and now we find ourselves in a storm. I don't know about y'all. That's what I've been thinking. Like, dude, you cold, man. Dude, Jesus, this is a very bad practical joke that you're playing on me right now, man. Like, I didn't sign up for this, Jesus. I mean, at least you could have told me, like, you know, I'm going to tell you to get on the boat, and we're going to face a storm. At least I could have had, like, a life raft or something. You know, said my goodbyes to my mama, my daddy, my kids. But you just tell me to get in the boat. Even though you're all-knowing, Jesus, you're all-powerful, you saw this coming, you knew this was coming, but yet you would tell me to get in the boat. Here's a sticky statement I like to say. Sticky statements are things that help us kind of memorize what God is ultimately trying to speak to us through the message. What's all of a sudden for us is part of the plan for God. I need you to understand that. That what's all of a sudden for us is part of the plan for God. God allows us to go through storms, not so that way we can fall apart, but so that way we can fall on Him. That's why He allows us to go through storms. He He allows us to go through the turbulent moments in our life so that way things can be exposed for what they are to help me understand where I have placed my faith and where I have placed my trust. That's what storms do. They expose the strength of your foundation. They expose a whole lot. And so Jesus is ultimately, as we can see here in hindsight, I mean, if we were here in this story when it was happening, we wouldn't have saw the big picture like we do now. But we can see clearly that there's something that Jesus is trying to help these disciples understand, that he's also trying to help us understand. That when storms come in our lives, that even though things around us may be turbulent, even though things around us may be chaotic, there is still a way for us to stay calm in the middle of a storm. And the way we stay calm in the middle of the storm, here's the deep answer, it's by trusting in Jesus. I'm sorry if you were looking for something deeper than that. That's as deep as it's gonna get. It's by trusting in Jesus. It's by trusting in who he is. Kind of share a quick story with you guys. At our previous church, right before God called us to plant this church a few years ago, I was a pastor on staff at another church before God led us to plant this. And one of the associate ministers at our church, he was about 93, 94 years old, and he and his wife had been married for about a good 70-some years. And then all of a sudden, his wife was stricken with sickness, and then she passed away. Now, mind you guys, they had been married for 70-plus years. That's like your whole life almost, right? And so the natural thing to think is, man, he gonna fall apart. Because for like 85% of his life, his wife has been right next to his side. They've been one. And then on one season or one day, she's now gone on to be with the Lord. And so immediately it's easy to think, man, his life is gonna fall apart. But do you know what happened with this guy? And I love his faith. I sat next to him every Sunday. I never saw his faith waver in Jesus. And most of us in here, if something like that would have happened to us, we would have fell apart. But he never complained. He never cursed God. He never said, God, why did you allow this to happen? And he would always say something like this. He would talk like this, Rem Jones, Rem? Rem? He wouldn't say the V, he'd say the M, Rem? I'm going through this tough season. But I'm trusting in Jesus to get me through. And every week I saw him, he was smiling as if nothing happened. And because I was on staff, I had the privilege to kind of see people come through the church on a regular basis throughout the course of the week. And he would come up there throughout the course of the week because a lot of the seniors would meet throughout the course of the week for lunch and stuff like that. And every time I saw him in lunch, he would always be cracking jokes, laughing, falling asleep, wake up, cracking jokes, laughing. That's what he did. I'm not joking. That's what he did. But how could you do something like this after such a tragic moment like this in your life? Because he said, I'm trusting in Jesus. Man, even though what happened around him was crazy, what was happening on the inside of him was peaceful. And I believe that God wants us to get to this point where we understand that our confidence is not based upon the good or the bad that's happening around us, but our confidence is based upon who Jesus is to us in the middle of a storm. I thought I would get some amens right there. Like, our confidence is not based upon whether it's a sunny day, whether it's a rainy day. Our confidence is based upon the fact of who Jesus is and in what Jesus has done. That's where the confidence is, guys. It's not found in anything else. And the disciples missed this. But I'm hoping today that we won't miss this. I'm hoping that today we'll be able to grab hold of this truth. Here's a few things that we ultimately see from this passage as it relates to trusting in Jesus and how we can stay calm in the middle of a storm. Number one, we can stay calm in the middle of the storm when we trust in his presence. Verses 35 through 38 say something like this. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Check this out. Verse 38. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat. I don't know if y'all caught it yet. They're going through the storm. But Jesus is on the boat. They're going through turbulent waters right now. But Jesus is on the boat. Part of the reason why many of us struggle with keeping calm in the midst of the storms is because we forget the one who is with us while we're going through the storm. If you remember that he is with you as you go through the storm, you will find yourself not panicking when everybody else is panicking, but you will find yourself able to remain calm in the midst of the storm because he's with you. Here's what Psalm 23 says. Some of you guys may know this scripture. It says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, pause right here. You're going to go through some valleys. I don't know if you knew that or not. Like, it ain't an option. You're going to go through it. It's going to happen. But here's what David says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, some of your translations may say, here's what happens. I won't fear anything. Why? Because you are, say it with me, with me. You are with me. You are with me. And part of the reason why many of us just go crazy when bad times happen to us is because we forget this truth right here. He is with me. If you remember that he is with you, there will be this calming sense that you will feel in the course of your life. So you're going to go through the valley moments in your life. The question is, how will you go through them? How? Will you go through the valley moments calm, or will you go through the valley moments panicking? I'll say it like this. One of God's greatest blessings is not keeping you from storms, but being with you in them. See, many of us pray prayers like this, right? God, don't let me go through this. God, can you get me out of this? And God says, I don't need to show you my power by getting you out. I can show you my power and my presence by keeping you in it because I'm with you. See, that's big boy Christianity. Like, that's not kiddie table Christianity. Kiddie table Christianity is like, Lord, would you just get me out? Big boy Christianity says, though you slay me, yet will I trust you because you're with me. Yeah, I'm going through a crazy season right now in my life. Yeah, they're talking about I got cancer. I only got a few months to live. Yeah, they're talking about that I'm not going to make it through this. And yeah, this happened to me and this happened to me. But you are with me. The disciples missed this. Jesus is on the boat. And now, mind you, they just saw Jesus prior to this account. They just saw Jesus do amazing miracles that were impossible. That the one who did the miraculous back then can do another miraculous now. He's with you in the storm. You're not by yourself. One of God's greatest blessings is being with you in the storm. So he will be with you in the lowest moment of your life. He will be with you when nobody's there. He will be with you when people walk out on you. He will be with you when you don't have enough money to make ends meet. He is still with you. I need y'all to get that in your hearts today, man. Because if you want to stay calm during the storm, it's by you understanding that his presence is with you. It's by you trusting in his presence. It also comes by you trusting in his peace. Go back to verse 38. It says this: Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Pause. Jesus. We are in the middle of a crazy storm, and you knocked out. Got the itis. Gone. Chilling. How are you sleeping on a pillow? In the midst of craziness. Now, I mean, granted, now Jesus, hypostatic union, that's a big term for that, the fact that Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. So he was 100% human, where he was tired more than likely from all the ministry he had previously just did. But you ain't sleeping that hard to the point where you're sleeping through a storm where water's getting on the boats. How can you sleep through something like this? That's the question I'm asking. If you're like me, how you sleep through this? Because if I hear just a little bit of thunder outside my house, it's woken me up. And I'm not going back to sleep until it quiets down. How you just sleeping, Jesus? How you just sleeping? Some of y'all are just hard sleepers. But this is one of them storms you ain't sleeping through. Matter of fact, to be on a serious note, you've gone through some rough seasons in your life where you won't get no sleep. Because you were worried about what was going to happen to you. You couldn't go to sleep during that time in your life. You couldn't go to sleep because you felt alone. You couldn't go to sleep because you felt as if you didn't have enough money. You didn't go to sleep because you didn't have any type of peace of mind. Jesus, how can you stay asleep during stressful times? And I love how the Bible gets very descriptive. Mark gives us some very good details. He's not just sleeping. He's sleeping on a cushion, a pillow. He done got comfortable in this. How can you get comfortable in a storm? With 20-foot waves, guys. Are y'all seeing this? How do you get this comfortable? What the disciples failed to realize is that Jesus had 100% peace in the middle of a storm. And you want to know the reason why he has 100% peace in the middle of a storm? Because Scripture calls him the Prince of Peace. So not only does he give peace, he is peace. That's how Jesus can stay asleep, knocked out, probably was snoring. Mark don't give us that detail, but he was probably gone, snoring. Knocked out comfortably in the back of the boat because of this peace. You want to know how you can stay calm in the middle of a storm? Trust in the peace of God. Trust in this peace that Philippians 4:6 says this, do not be anxious about anything. Some of you guys are anxious about the season that you're in right now. You're worried, frantic about it. The word anxiety in the original language actually means to strangle or to choke the life out of. Your anxiety is literally choking the life out of you. So you're not sleeping, you're not eating, you're depressed, you've fallen into this very stressful season in your life right now because you're up at night, you're worried about how you're going to make it through this storm. But here's what Paul says as we continue to read. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Here's what happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you begin to put your faith and trust in Jesus, when you're going through a storm, he will allow you to be able to experience his peace, and it will guard you in the midst of a storm. So that's why if you're following Christ and if you put your faith and trust in Christ and you're trusting Jesus through the craziest and the lowest moment in your life and the stormy season of your life, that's how on the outside, other people are like, how is it that you kind of still smile and you still got joy and you're still so positive in the midst of the storm that you're going through? Because my positivity is not based on my situation. My positivity is based on the peace of Jesus. That's what it's based upon. And many of us have been searching out for that peace. Many of us in here right now, man, you've been trying to find peace in the middle of your storm. You've been looking everywhere. You thought it was going to come by going to this party. You thought it was going to come by having this amount of money. You thought it was going to come by a new relationship or by buying more things. And the only thing that you found out was it continued to contribute to the fact that you don't have peace. The only way you will experience the peace of God is by trusting in God. And the good news is this, man, he wants you to experience it in the middle of the storm. I'll say it like this. That the peace that God gives, it doesn't prevent storms. No. Mm-mm. That's bad, false teaching right there. God never promised you that you would never go through storms in life. Matter of fact, Jesus says it like this, that in this life you'll have many troubles. You're going to have many storms that you're going to go through. But then he gives confidence. He says, but hey, take joy in me. I've already overcome them. So the peace that God gives, it doesn't prevent storms. You know what it does? It anchors you through them. It keeps you grounded through the storm. That's what it's all about. That's the type of peace that God wants you to have. God wants you to be calm in the middle of a raging storm of life. He wants you to remain calm in the midst of the craziness that you're experiencing right now in life. In the midst of the worries that you're experiencing and the storm that's happening around you, he wants to give you his peace. And here's the last thing, and then I'm done. He says, not only are we to trust in his presence, but to trust in his peace, but we're also to trust in his power. Here's what verse 39 through 41 says. After the disciples panic, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Verse 39, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm, a great calm. And then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Y'all see what happens here? And I think sometimes because if you've been a part of a church for some time, you got some type of Christian experience, you can kind of look at this story and the familiarity of the story will cause you to lose the awe of the story. This dude woke up from his sleep, went to the boat, the edge of the boat, told the storm, y'all chill out. That's my translation. Peace be still. That's it. That's it. That's all he does. Silence. Be quiet. Isn't it interesting that the one who has power over the storm is the one that we need to put our most faith and trust in at the end of the day? Like, you've been trying to control the storm. You've been trying to prevent things from happening. And Jesus is like, the only one who can quiet this thing down is me. I'll give the disciples some credit here. Because in the midst of them panicking, the one thing that they did do was run to Jesus. They were crazy, but they went to Jesus. And the best thing that all of you guys did today in the midst of whatever you're facing right now, you don't know how the situation is going to work out. You've been saying a whole lot of crazy stuff throughout the course of this week, but the one thing you did today, man, I'm going to church service today because I need to connect with Jesus. The one who has power over the storm is the one that we put our trust in. And it's interesting because in verse 39, Jesus does that. But around verse 40, notice what he says to the disciples. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Here's what he's ultimately speaking to. You've seen me do impossible things, and you still don't believe? Right? Part of the reason why many of us don't have that calm is because we forget what God has already done. Let me remind you, this ain't the first storm that you've been through right now in your life. If God saw you through the previous storm, why do you not think he can see you through this one? If God provided last time, why are you panicking? Oh my gosh, I don't know how we're going to pay bills. You ain't know how you're going to pay bills 2 years ago and you're still here. Why are you panicking? It's just a different looking storm, that's all. But it's the same Savior. It's the same God. It's the same Messiah. And last time I checked, he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ain't nothing changed. Even though the storm has changed, Jesus is still the same. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just as he had power over your storms yesterday, he still has power over your storms today, and he will still have powers over your storms tomorrow. So it doesn't matter what's happening around you. It doesn't even matter what's happening in our country. Many people are still in disarray about what happened 2-3 weeks ago at the election. It don't matter who's in the office, man. The only thing that matters is who's on the throne. Matter of fact, he's the one who's running all these things. Donald Trump getting in office, Hillary Clinton getting in office, whoever would have been in office would not have caught God off surprise. No. He'd have been like, oh yeah, I allowed that to happen because it's working to fulfill my greater plan. See, the problem with y'all is, and me, is we want things to happen the way we want them to happen. If Jesus said, hey, I'm going to give you a multiple choice question. Stormy life or sunny life? You know what 100% of us probably would choose? Sunny life, right? Like you start singing the Sesame Street song, sunny days, right? That's what you want to see, right? That's what you want. But the reality is, God is like, but you do realize that in order for things to grow in your life, some rain has to come. See, many of us want a harvest in our life, but God's like, in order for there to be a harvest, I got to send the rain. But many of us don't want the rain. You got the whole Missy Elliott syndrome. I can't stand the rain. No, you need to stand the rain. Right? Right? There was an old school song back in the 90s. Can you stand the rain? You need to. Yeah. Because it's the rain, it's the storms of life that come that God allows to shape my faith and to anchor me down in my relationship with him. I say it like this, that you can stay calm in the storm when you know the one who has power over the storm. Psalm 95 verse 5 says this, the sea is his. Why? Because he made it. And his hands form the dry land. You know why Jesus can go to the storm and go to the sea and say, peace be still? Because he made the waters. He made the sea. He was there with God the Father and the Spirit, cultivating this beautiful sea, this beautiful world, this beautiful earth. And he has sovereign dominion and control over it. Such is the same now in your own life. But here's my fear for many of us in here, that when you leave out of here this message, after hearing this message, you're gonna go right back into panic mode. You're gonna go right back into worry mode. You just amen like crazy. You just raise your hand like crazy. You're taking notes copiously right now. But when you get in the storm, all of a sudden you forget everything. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God reminds you of this moment right now. And for some of us, you're not going through a storm right now. It's sunny like it is outside right now. It's nice. It's pleasant. Troubled waters are coming your way. They're coming. But the good news is, as long as you got the one who has control over those things on the boat of life with you, he will see you through it. Band, you guys can come on up. Here's what I want to close with, that putting my faith in Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, keeps me calm through the storms of life. In other words, there is nothing that you will ever go through that Jesus does not already have dominion over. So even if you're here and you're a high school student, preteens and teenagers, like you're going through a tough season right now, you're experiencing pressure to do things that you know are just 100% wrong. The good news about it is, man, you can put your faith and trust in Jesus and trust and believe that he will see you through it. That's what it's about. Man, you're going to go through some storms. The question is not, will you go through them? The question is, how will you go through them? Because you can stay calm in the middle of a storm. Some of us got so many crazy stuff right now happening. Man, your marriage is on the rocks. Your kids, man, are just acting a fool. People on your job are acting crazy. And you're like, man, when is this storm going to end? What am I going to do about this thing? And God is like, I'm in control over this thing. Trust in me to get you through this. But I got to say this, that you would never trust Jesus during your storm if you haven't trusted Jesus with your life. You'll never trust him through your storm if you haven't first trusted him with your life. And in this case, this story is a greater picture of what Jesus ultimately came to do through his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That just as in this story, the disciples were on their way to destruction, that Jesus doesn't intervene, these waves are going to come crashing down into this boat and destroy this boat. And they're going to lose their lives. But Jesus steps in and calms the storm. And in our life, just as we have faced the proverbial storms of life, the reality is this, that apart from Christ, all of us were on our way to destruction because of our sinfulness. All of us were, as Scripture would say, we're enemies of God because of our sin, because we live contrary to God's word. Ephesians chapter 2 actually says it like this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. You know what that means? Destruction. That's what we deserve. Scripture says this, the wages of our sin is death. So we should have got what we had coming to us. But here's where it gets good. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. That just as Jesus saved the disciples from the destruction that they were getting ready to experience because of this storm, Jesus saves us as a result, or saves us from the destruction because of the sin that's in our life. He steps in. Your greatest deliverance is not that he delivers you from the storm of life. The greatest miracle is him delivering you from the sin of your life. That's the greatest miracle. And that's what Jesus came to do. He says it like this, that I came to seek and to save the lost. All of us, man, we were lost. Far from God, apart from God, hostile to God. And many of us in here, we thought we were good with God because we came to church. God is like, man, anybody can go to church. I don't care about that. I care about you being in covenant with me, which means relationship, which means that you've believed in my son and what he did for you on the cross. And through his resurrection power, you can have new life. If you haven't believed in that, man, you're headed down the wrong path. And life is going to come crashing down on you very soon. But if you put your faith and trust in what Christ has done for you, as Scripture says here, you are saved. And here's the good news, man. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to step in. And the only thing he's waiting for you to do is to run to him and say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, take take me in. Jesus, rescue me from my sinfulness. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's the question I want to ask you today. Where is your trust right now? Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus, or are you placing your faith and trust in your own ability? See, the disciples could have easily placed their own trust in their own ability as fishermen to get themselves out of the storm, but this is one of them storms they couldn't get themselves out of. They couldn't escape this one on their own. They needed the grace of Jesus. And just as they needed the grace of Jesus to get out of the destruction that was coming through that storm, you need his grace as well to get you through the storms of life, but more importantly, to save you from your sin. So if you're here this morning, I got two calls, two things I want to pray for this morning. If you're here this morning, number one, and you're saying, you know what? Man, I know Christ. I'm a believer. I believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that I'm a sinner, that he saved me by his grace. I believe in that, man, but I'm going through a storm right now, and I've been panicking a whole lot. I've been worrying. I've been filled with anxiety. I've been filled with a whole lot of fear. But today, man, I want to come back and put my faith and trust in him. I want to put him at the center again because he's with me. He gives me peace, and he has power over the storm. If this is you, and you can be honest and say, you know what? I haven't trusted him like I should through the storm, but today I am. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you really quick? That's you. Thank you for your honesty. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Father, for every hand that's lifted, I pray, Father, that this message would seep down in their hearts, that they would no longer trust in themselves, but that they would trust in you, the one who is the Prince of Peace, the one who does have power over all things, the one whose presence does go with us. I pray that today, God, that by putting our trust in you, that we would be at a place of calmness, even in the midst of disruptive things happening around us. I pray that we will be able to smile in the face of a storm. I pray that we will be able to sleep in the midst of a storm because we have your peace, because we have access to your power, because you are with us. In Jesus' name. While every head is still bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what, I haven't placed my faith and trust in Jesus. I've tried to do things my own way. I thought that by coming to church that that was what was going to save me. But I've quickly found out, man, that it's not about coming to church. It's about making a profession of faith and believing in Jesus and what he's done for me. And him shedding his blood on the cross, that he came to seek and to save my life from my sin. If that's you this morning and you're saying, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I want to become a part of the family of God. Here's the good news, man. You can be a part of the family of God. And it's not based upon what you do. It's all based upon you receiving what he's already done for you. That's all you got to do is just trust and believe. It's that simple. That's why it's called good news. So if that's you and you're saying, I'm going to give my life to Christ this morning, would you do me a favor? I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. Nobody's looking. It's just you and God. Would you just raise your hand just so I can see you, so I can pray for you really quick? If that's you, awesome. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Awesome. 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 Saw about three hands go up making a decision to give Christ their life this morning. That's awesome. For those of you who are making a decision to give Christ your life, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer of confession. It's a prayer of faith where you're asking God to come into your life. Scripture says it like this, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. You'll be made new. You'll be forgiven for all of your sins, past, present, and future. You are now a new creature. So repeat these words after me. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, if you raise your hand, repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you resurrected from the grave so that I could have new life in you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for adopting me into your family. Thank you for rescuing me from my destruction. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, church, can we make some noise for those who made a decision to give Christ their life? Come on, y'all can do better than that. Amen. So here's a few instructions. If you prayed that prayer, if you just gave Christ your life, if you raised your hand when I asked you to raise your hand, if you wanted to give your life to Christ, here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to pull out that worship guide, that connection card. And at the bottom of that connection card, matter of fact, if we all could pull it out just for the sake of those who are making the decision today, if you could pull out that connection card, at the bottom it says, my decision today. I want you to check the